Let's snap it up.
Can we bring the meeting to order? I like, no one's been this quiet since.
We're waiting for your words of wisdom.
Well, I'm going to Rick to get, come back. Can you do a roll call?
I will. Darren Garrett.
Present.
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Sam Sharp.
Here.
Jim DeMartini.
Here.
Donna Riley.
Here.
Jeff Grover.
Here.
Michael O'Neill.
Here.
Lauren Klein.
Here.
Mandeep Dillon.
Here.
Rhonda Biesmeyer.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. The any announcements, Rick?
Kelly.
I do have announcements.
Yeah.
I have an announcement regarding the rotation of officers pursuant to bylaw section 1.5. Trustee Mike Lynch is chair for the 2018 Board of Retirement, and Trustee Jim DeMartini is 2018 Board of Retirement Vice Chair. I also have another announcement regarding item 5F. We have a revised 2017 continuing education record. It's been handed out to you today, and it's going to replace the one that was in your packet. There were three changes to note, some education updates for trustees.
Okay. Is that it? No more announcements? We have a consent calendar. Any items anyone wants to take off the calendar?
If not, I'll move the consent calendar.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Now we have Ed.
Ed, can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry, I had to click myself off mute there for a second. So, good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, Ed.
So, just a couple quick items. I think for the next item on the agenda, we have the 12-month work plan with some changes highlighted in yellow. And I think though all of those are straightforward and documented well enough. I just wanted to raise your attention to the next few months. February, we have a couple items there for the real estate rebalancing. Once we do the due diligence on Prudential, we expect to come back with a full recommendation for you in February, along with the launching of the private market surge. And then in March, the annual review of the IPS. And in April, taking a closer look at the asset allocation again as part of our annual cycle and preparing for the private markets finalist presentation. So, the exciting thing, I think, out of these next 3 or 4 months is that we'll really be reaching the conclusion of the FFP construction, and so really striving towards the full implementation, which we started about 2 years ago, two plus, and finally getting there after all this time. So certainly appreciate your patience and diligence and hard work through all of this, and I think it'll put us in good position for the future.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Is that what you got for us, Ed?
And then just the flash report. So just a couple highlights here. This takes us through December 31st, and you can see that the total plan earned another 1% net of fees. That's obviously an estimate because we don't have all of the direct lending and real estate numbers in just yet. But another positive month, positive year-to-date, positive fiscal year-to-date, so really strong numbers, and we're seeing that continue thus far in January. So as we continue to tick up new highs domestically and internationally on the equity markets, we're now looking at some pretty strong returns in these first few weeks. So hopefully it continues, but we're getting a lot of questions about how much longer can it continue, should we expect a pullback, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're not seeing that happening just yet. We like the fundamentals. Certainly, we can always have a correction in the markets. That's what the markets do to us. But as far as the fundamentals being in place, it still continues to look strong and favorable here and around the world. So we like what we're seeing. So this is continuing on, and happy to answer any questions about December performance or any other market questions. But those are all of my prepared comments.
So Ed, if there was a correction, what would be your prediction on what kind of percentage it might be?
That's a good one. Certainly the cause of the correction will help determine that. But when we think about the typical kind of 10% correction, which is where we really start to talk about it being a significant correction. It, you know, 10% is kind of the number that, that makes people take notice. And I think something like in the 5 to 10% range, people typically interpret as a buying opportunity and kind of a cleansing of the market in a way, whereas 10% makes you ask questions about what has changed. So we continue to beat up the numbers on that. And one of the approaches we've taken is just simply to say, if we had a 10% correction, how far back would that take us relative to the gains that we've had over these past few years? And it's almost not even meaningful. It has to become a 25% correction to take us back more than a year. And you can actually see that on this performance report, because when you take a look at the year-to-date column, that is the calendar year 2017, and you can see that U.S. equity blended earned 20%, the international markets earned 27-28%, and so it's almost surprising how that 10% correction is kind of a drop in the bucket at this point from that perspective. So I don't know if I answered your question exactly, but yeah.
Ed, just one thing. At the recent Opal conference in Arizona, we talked to your managing director, Mr. Jaladi, and he spoke very highly of you. And we shared with him our praises.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. I enjoy working with Max. He has a very sharp mind and very attuned to understanding the risks in the marketplace. And so he's someone we find very valuable in providing portfolio insights and really helps us in the construction of portfolios like yours and thinking through them very critically.
Members, anything else? For? Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Yes, thank you.
Rick?
Okay, this is item 8A, Information Technology Solutions Project Update, and I'll turn this over to Natalie.
The Information Technology Solutions is going very well. We're getting the modules put together. We've got the UAT testing 95% done for the member maintenance module, which is where all the you can see the service contribution salary records for all the members and the retirees as well. We've begun the employer reporting piece of it, putting together the specifications for that and getting ready to put together the import requirements. And we've started the employer maintenance piece of it as well, where all the information for each employer will be seen, which includes the rates, their address, all that stuff. So things are going very well. We are on track. And we're excited to get this done.
So one of the most, a crucial part of this successful implementation of this program is coming up, and that is in about a month from now, we're going to be giving the employers the file format for all the data that they need to send us every payroll period. We're going to be pushing that out to the employers. We're going to be letting them take a look at that for 3 or 4 weeks to kind of to digest what it is we're going to be asking from them, because there is some new data that we don't currently collect that we want to start collecting to make the system better, to be able to allow us to do better actuarial projections, contribution rates, and so forth. And then we'll give them a few weeks to digest that, and then we'll start our campaign of going out and meeting face-to-face with each of the employers and finding out what their concerns are and finding out what the sticking points are going to be, because there will be sticking points in some of the data elements that we're going to be asking them to give us. I've been around a project like this before in the past, and this is a large hurdle in the success of this project, but we're getting out way ahead of this right now. We're still over 18 months away from go live, and we're going to set some conservative deadlines for ourselves and our employers and try to head off any issues that may come our way later on down the road. So this is the first milestone that we're trying to get over at this point in time, but nothing bad at this stage.
Okay. So do you have your own item B?
I do. So item 8B, this is a discussion and action item, and this is the staff's recommendation is to accept the executive director goals for 2018. So About a year and a half ago, we took the strategic plan and we broke it up into three pieces. Those tasks we wanted to complete in 2017, the tasks we wanted to complete in 2018, and those that we wanted to complete in 2019. And so all we pretty much did here is took those tasks that we had slated to be done in 2018 and put them on the executive director's goals for 2018. And as I was looking over those tasks last week, as I was putting together this agenda item, we can basically summarize the tasks that the organization is going to be accomplishing this year as relating to succession planning, staff training, and investment governance. We've got our new investment officer here, and so this year we plan on start implementing some of those tasks that the board felt were important to a sound investment governance program. We'll start to do that this year. Succession planning is a big thing. I think that the issue that we had at the end of the year with our benefits manager has exposed us a little bit, which is not a big surprise to us. We don't really have anybody to fill that void right now, but that's something that we expected, and that's something that we had planned on trying to tackle this year in the strategic plan. And then the final thing is staff education and training, and we are going to try to make the office as to get everybody up to speed on what our business processes are and how best to accomplish those processes by education and training, and also to try to identify potential folks that could demonstrate leadership capabilities in the organization, because I think that that's a void we also have right now, to be honest with you. So those are the three issues that the strategic plan and ultimately the executive director goals are focusing on for 2018. And I can take any questions if you have them.
Any questions, members? Do we need to, we don't need to act on this?
Yes, this is a discussion and action item.
Okay, do I have a motion?
A motion to accept the 2018 executive director goals as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next item is closed session, and we don't have one. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Members forum, Supervisor DeMartini.
Aren't we supposed to have a parking place for the for our meeting?
The guys down below forgot this year. I think it's because of the switch in the new year, and I don't know if they had a calendar. But they usually don't need a calendar. They know it's the fourth Tuesday. So.
He did know it was the fourth Tuesday. He came up and profusely apologized and said for some reason he had it as the 30th in his mind. So he apologized.
He apologized to me until I told him I walked.
How long did you let that go?
He's very sorry.
That's all I had.
All right.
Not a really nice place on the sixth floor.
Thank you.
Open air.
Darren. Mike.
Yes, I just wanted to bring up something that we touched on at the Opal conference, and just to put it out there in the back of our mind, because I know we've had members before who are sensitive to certain kinds of investments, and one of the things that they talked about, and I guess some people got to go tour a cannabis farm. I wasn't one of them that got to go, but that's something that I think that maybe we ought to think about as a group in the future, whether we have any biases about investing in that product. Personally, I don't. You know, I think if it's a moneymaker, it's a moneymaker, and you know, go for it. But I don't know if anybody else has any issues or concerns. But
I went to the workout they had, the breakout, and they took a poll of people who were there, how many retirement funds invest in cannabis, and nobody raised their hand. But then the Colorado guy said they're thinking about it, and they're going to recommend that they do it for one of the people in Colorado. I don't know how you want to proceed. I don't. What's the board's sentiment?
Does the board want to explore this further?
Isn't the banking regulation still needs to be worked out on that? So I...
right now the banks are taking the position that if they don't know about it, because we're already, the county's already taking cash on cannabis.
It's already happening. So the banks are taking a position that it's not specifically pointed out to them, and it's just enrolled in all of our other deposits. They don't know about it.
Passes the test, the smell test.
Good one.
So right now, that's how it stands.
I think as a new industry, I think it'd be better to wait until we have a little bit of a shakeout.
I'm with that. I agree with that.
Yeah. And I don't think it's something that we would, you know, specifically it'll come and say, hey, some. But one of our agents could.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah. What happens if one of our investment managers, would that trouble anybody? I just thought of that.
My only concern is still a violation of federal law, and it may trigger something with the IRS with our exemption status under the tax code. So until all of these issues are ferreted out, I say we just wait it out on the sidelines.
But if some agent comes and brings us something that says it's all figured out, we should look at it.
Well, I mean, let me give you an example. I'll throw my cards out on the table. My wife and I actually invested in the first ETF that invests in the cannabis industry. We're not necessarily, that's not something that we choose to do. However, we like the fact that it allows for some diversification in our own personal portfolio. There are investment vehicles and public companies that do this that are investment managers who are active managers could theoretically take a position in. Is this something that would bother somebody?
There's some gray areas also. There are some companies that don't touch the plant, so to speak, but will profit from the industry. So I think it's going to happen at some point.
I think we should wait for some more clearance from the federal government. On this.
Right now, we have nothing preventing our managers from buying a publicly listed company that may be related to that industry.
Ed, you still there?
Yes.
Any comments?
I think it comes up in a few different ways. One is that some of the companies that you can invest in through publicly traded securities trade on foreign exchanges. So we could potentially have some exposure to that through our international mandates. I don't know. But we may, and they wouldn't be prohibited from investing in it per se. So it would be up to each manager's discretion and their investment management guidelines as to what's permitted. Down the road, I could see as we develop more of our private markets position, we will likely have exposure to venture capitalists, and venture capitalists are certainly looking at this industry because they can invest more locally in smaller companies, taking those private positions, and many of them are working hard in areas like this, in cryptocurrencies, and all sorts of, you know, cutting-edge technologies and things that are kind of at the fringe in a lot of respects today, and while things get vetted out. It tends to have pretty attractive risk-return profiles for those who are diligent about doing the homework and that can add value to a portfolio, and to Rick's point, can certainly be a diversifier. As we think about what the tobacco industry does in economic downturns, it typically does pretty well relative to a lot of other sectors, and so it could be a nice diversifier from that perspective. And then just thinking about our policies in place, to Chris's point, we don't have anything in the investment policy statement or any of the board directives that say that take a position on this in one way or the other. We've always, as we've discussed in past discussions, have always thought about each investment or investment strategy based on its own merits, based on its own risk-return characteristics on their own, and how they can contribute to the overall construction of the portfolio. And I think that's probably pretty sound judgment until and unless we hear something more definitive, like if there is a federal regulation that contradicts us and we need to think more pragmatically about it in that respect. But as of now, I think we're in okay position from a prudence fiduciary perspective, and we can continue to reevaluate this as news develops.
And I wouldn't mind at some point if we had the time to talk about not only marijuana but also the cryptocurrencies and all these things that are currently all over the newspapers. that we have no, at least I have no clue how they actually operate. So.
Yeah. We're fielding a lot of questions like that, especially in December when the market was just running up like crazy. That Bitcoin at 20,000 seemed to capture a lot of headlines. So yeah, happy to talk more about those.
Okay. Anything else from the members? Rhonda.
I just wanted to say I really enjoyed attending the public fund summit. It was really good information, and I got to network. But most of all, I got to meet and talk more with Mike, and that was really nice. So I got to know him better, and it's good to know people you're on board with. So appreciate it.
Likewise. Lauren?
So I just wanted to share that, I work for Behavioral Health and Recovery Services for the county. And as we talk about our information system implementation, a related subject matter is, we got a malware attack about a month ago that completely shut us down. It was a ransom attack, completely shut us down. No, 500 users could not log into their system. Client health electronic system as well. So Bitcoin, demand for Bitcoin payment. I don't know at what point, Rick, we need to start. I'm sure the Linear folks are already building in security protection as they're building this. Yep. I just wanted to put it out there. This is a real threat, and nothing that we could have done to prevent it. There's been similar ones worldwide. About 2 months ago, London Hospital, one of their major hospitals, got thousands of patients, and they got a similar attack. So just wanted to put it out there.
We are very well aware of that situation, and we're actually also looking into cyber insurance, too, as a form of tail risk, so to speak. So there's a lot of potential solutions out there, but I can tell you that we are definitely aware of that situation.
Thank you. Yeah. So we've suffered through it.
Right now we're okay, by the way. There's really nothing anybody can hack because nobody actually...
Right, it's not even live.
Right, but later on, 18 months from now, that'll be a different story.
Yeah. And county does have cyber, insurance, but still.
Yep. Donna?
I want to thank Kelly for helping me out this week. She got me into a conference and will have my deficit taken care of very quickly.
Any comments?
Well, this is my first meeting, I guess, even though it's my third, isn't it? Great to be here. I've been on the job a week, and I'm happy to say that portfolio performance has been fantastic this week.
keep it up.
That's good. I'll keep that up. I look forward to getting to all of you more, and I'd love to meet you all one-on-one over the coming month or so if we can. And my door is always open, and... make sure you get my contact information. So thanks again for having me.
Kelly?
The only other thing I have to say is I sent an email regarding Form 700s. Normally I would pass them out at this meeting and discuss them is why I'm mentioning it. The county has chosen to go electronic this year, so they're rolling that out. It's not live yet, but I gave you an email of the first presentation that you have sent out. So please don't be afraid, and I'll work with you as best I can once it rolls out to teach everyone how to get on and get that filed. Okay. Apparently we don't have a hard copy option anymore.
I brought the agendas from the conference, the OPAL conference. It was a little bit different this time. They had like two conferences at the same time, and you got to go back and forth. And sometimes the keynote guys spoke to both groups at the same time. So their keynote speakers weren't as good as the year before, I didn't think, but the informational sessions were very productive. I brought one book from one of the keynote speakers. This guy is so gloom and doom, this guy is so terribly gloom and doom that it makes me sound like Mary Poppins. But he gave us no useful information, like, because of this, you should, like, consider this as an investment. It was just like a narration of things that will go wrong and destroy the world. Anyway, but it was, other than that, it was a pretty good conference. So, does anyone have anything else?
Nope.
Meeting's adjourned.
United.